Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
You guys ready for this today? I love, love, love meeting God in worship. I love God meeting God through, I love worshiping God through giving, but I love meeting him in the pages of his scripture because that's where he talks to us and teaches us how to straighten things out and how to really prioritize what's most important and all the things that go with just following God. So today, we're moving forward in our series on prayer, and I want to tell you today that I don't think there are very many more topics more important than the one we've been talking about for the past few weeks. And I truly hope that you're letting God refocus you on the power and the importance of prayer. The truth is, I have walked with God for a lifetime. It's kind of funny to say, but I was born on a Sunday. I was in church the next Sunday. I could probably count on both hands the number of times I've missed church in my whole life of now 50 years. I've done a lot when it comes to church and Bible study, worshiping God, and all the things that go with ministry now. But all I can tell you is through this particular sermon series, the Lord has really refreshed and refocused some things about the passion and the power of prayer and how important it is not just in the duty of prayer, but the actual heart behind why God wants us to pray in the beginning, in the very first place. So I hope you let God reset some things for you today. And we kicked off the series talking about what prayer is. Pastor Cherie brought a great message on what is it, why is it so important, and she talked about the place of prayer and how to have a spot where it's really just you and God, and talked about some patterns that are easy to remember that we can connect with God through prayer on. Last week, we actually looked at what Jesus gave us in what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really a pattern of approach to God relationally. Today, my intention is to spend the next few minutes rehearsing scripture with you. I believe God wants to show us something that's really going to talk about the passion that God has for prayer and why it's such a big deal to God that we pray. So with that in mind, we're going to start the journey in prayer and go right into scripture. Let's pray. Lord, be with us today as we study your scriptures. The truth is, Lord, we don't want just a mental exercise of learning facts and filling in the blanks. We want our minds, more importantly, our lives, transformed by your power. So be with us as we study your scripture today. Change who we are by changing the way we think, Romans 12:2, and let it be done for your glory and our blessing in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start with three particular scriptures. They're at the top of your outline. I'm going to ask that you get the outline out. If you're on the YouVersion, go ahead and open that up. If neither of those two things are within reach, you can at least look at the screens, because I'm going to ask that you would join me and let's read these three scriptures together and see if we can get a bead on what God seems to be saying to us. We're going to start in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Let's read this together. Ready? Read. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now let's look at the second one. Ephesians 6, 18 says this. Read it together. Ready? Read. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all believers everywhere. The last one there at the top of the page, Philippians 4, 6. Ready? Read. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. All right? So you probably have some sense of what we're going to be talking about today, but these three scriptures and many more like them paint a picture for us, and that is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. These scriptures indicate that we should always be praying about, what's the word? Everything. As we live our lives, always be praying about everything. All right, what does everything mean? Everything. What does always mean? Always. So clearly we know what these two words mean, but when we think of the way we live life, it's like, okay, that's kind of a disconnect, because I don't know about you, Pastor Dave, but there's parts of my life I may not want to pray about. I mean, I don't know about everything that you live, but I could imagine that you don't want to pray about speeding. And you know you speed. Maybe you don't want to pray about that. You might be afraid God would say, don't speed. I have no idea. But my point is, you could just probably imagine that there are parts of life, it's like, that's just uncomfortable to think about praying about that. I mean, it's awkward a little bit. Like in the shower, I'm naked. That's just weird. To pray naked, that's just kind of strange to me. Newsflash, he can see through your clothes. It's not a shock to him, anything. And it's all there, right? But my point is, it's odd that we think it like this. We think of prayer like this, that there are times that we pray, and they're kind of few and far between in our life, but we punctuate the day with a few points. You know, we'll start, you know, good Lord, it's morning, or maybe good morning, Lord. I'm not sure which way you start with. And then, Lord, bless this cup of coffee. I need it so desperately. And then thank you, Lord, for the breakfast, and thank you, Lord, for the lunch, and thank you, Lord, for the dinner, and now I lay me down to sleep. And that, you know, maybe that's the six times you pray in the day. And you think of it as, I better pray about this. Or maybe there's trouble. Oh my gosh, I need to pray about that. But that isn't the context that we see in the scriptures we're looking at, because God is actually talking to us about a different understanding of prayer. He's saying, pray always in everything. So I'm not going to get too graphic with this, but I'll just say there isn't any dimension of life that we can't or shouldn't have prayer as a part of. Even your fights at home. You're like, what? Me? Fight? Yes, you know you do. God wants in on that. But my point is, there's a different context that he wants us to see. And so what I really am hoping today that we can figure out is, when it comes right down to it, when it comes to the issue of should we always be praying, that the answer is yes. God expects that there is a constant thread of prayer through our day, through our life. So we're going to be looking at that today, and you may be wondering, well, where does this drive to always be praying come from? So what I want to do is start in the very beginning of Scripture and look back at the way God created all of it to work, and then see if we can understand why it's so important to him that we actually pray our way through our life every day. Okay, so let's think this through. In Genesis, we watch God as he creates the heaven and earth. Did God create the heaven and the earth? Yes. All right, we watch as God created everything in the earth. Did he create everything in and on the earth? Yes. Then we watch God creates humanity. Did he create humans? Yes. So let's jump in the story right there and watch a picture emerge to us. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So over and over, God was saying, I created you. I didn't just create everything and you happened to show up. I created everything and then I created you. I created you. I want you to know, I created you. So he created us, male and female created us. He created us in his image. He created us. I mean, God's like making a point. I created you. You. All right. Then the Bible says in verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. In other words, we see that God created everything, then he created humanity in the middle of everything, and then he gave humanity some things to do. Some things to do. So, when it comes right down to it, jot this down. God gave Adam and Eve something to do, and that is govern the earth. Govern the earth. All right, you're like, okay, I get it. He created the earth, he created us in the earth, and he gave us something to do. How does that relate to prayer? I'm trying to figure it out. Let's just kind of work our way through this and see if the Holy Spirit clicks some of these ideas for you. Write this down. When God gave Adam and Eve this directive to govern the earth, they were still in unbroken relationship with him. Unbroken relationship with him. So there they were in the creation that he made. They were given the things to do that they were given to do, but the operating context of all of that was, I'm alive and doing what I do in relationship with you. You see it? Okay. That's the picture. And in that place, everybody, please understand this. In that place, they had everything they needed to be completely fulfilled and well. We know that God, he created the Garden of Eden. It was paradise in that sense. Nothing lacking. It was beautiful. It was just blow your mind, unimaginably creative in the way that God did all of those things. And he put Adam and Eve in the middle of it. And the picture there in the beginning was, here you are in the middle of everything I've created for you, paradise. I've given you some things to do, and I want to do this together with you. We're in relationship together with you. Okay? So, I want to add one more layer to this picture and then start working our way back to the issue. Why is prayer so important? God gave Adam and Eve something else. And you may not realize this, but I want to make the point. If you're taking notes today, write this down. God gave Adam and Eve something else that was tied to his bigger objective of love-based relationship, and that is choice. Choice. Everyone say choice. God gave us choice. Choice. How do we know that? Because Adam and Eve, as they were created, were free to choose to obey him or disobey him. How do we know that? Because we read in the scripture that they actually went against what God said and disobeyed him. You're probably familiar with that scripture, but the point I'm trying to make is they were created with everything they need. God gave them all of that and some things to do and his relationship, completely surrounding them with everything they need for fulfillment, and gave them a choice. Why? Why would God give them a choice? I remember thinking as a child, God, that's the dumbest thing you could have ever done. Why did you give them a choice? I mean, it was perfect. You gave them a choice and they messed it up. I actually remember thinking, I can't wait to see Adam in heaven because I'm going to deck him. Perhaps you've never had that thought. But the point is, it's why did you do that, God? Because actually his intent is something other than perfection and perfect performance. He's after something else. All of that is a setting for one thing that he's actually working towards. We've already talked a little bit about it, but the issue is God, because the scripture says he is love, created all of that creation and humanity in order to receive humanity, his love, and choose to give it back. Love is only love if it's chosen. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. Choice is a key difference between true love and servitude. Now, you're probably not used that word, servitude, recently. And so perhaps because it's not that familiar, let me just bring the definition to you. Servitude is the state of being a slave or completely subject to someone more powerful. In other words, it almost kind of makes sense when you think of this all-powerful God and the people he created initially to say, listen, I'm going to create you and I want you to do it perfectly, so I'm not going to give you any choice in it. I'm going to wind you up and I'm going to sit there for eons of eternity and watch my perfection. But that isn't what God was doing. What was he actually working on? God was working to establish a relational context that love actually lives in. So that's why he can't simply demand religious perfection, because he's not simply looking for performance and perfection. What's he looking for? Relationship. Relationship. He's looking for relationship. That's what God is looking for. Now, here's what's interesting, because it's clear that God says, I want you to do this, and I want you not to do that. Here's some things I'm commanding you to do, and here's some things I'm commanding you not to do. If you look in Scripture, he is very clear. There are some things we're supposed to do, and some things we're not supposed to do. It's clear if you actually look in Scripture. So it might seem that what he's after is obedience. But here's what I want to say. Obedience is part of something, but it isn't the point of what God's after. Obedience is a part of what he's after, but it isn't the point of what he's after. Does he want us to obey? Yes. Why? Because our obedience to him facilitates something that disobedience cannot. Here's what I want to do. I want to make one more kind of a context connection. I'm going to jump into the New Testament and let you hear what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23. Notice he says this, "All who love me will do what I say. All who love me will do what I say." What's he saying? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, then you'll obey. And it kind of sounds like some of the things that we've used on each other to manipulate each other. Well, if you really love me, you would do. Right? You know, you'd clean your room. If you really love me, then you'd do the dishes. If you really love me, then you'd mow the lawn. If you really love me, then you'd pay the bills. If you really love me, then you'd be nice to me. We tend to think of it like that. But that isn't the context he's sharing truth with us. He's saying, if you love me, you'll actually do what I'm saying. So let me kind of sharpen that up for you. Write this down. Love causes me to choose to obey God instead of simply proving that I love him by my obedience. Love causes me to choose him. It doesn't prove it. It just causes me to choose to obey him. Love. Now, watch this, because I know I've got a lot of context out here and I want to try to bring it all together. Let me finish that verse in John chapter 14. I'll start again. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say." Now watch this. "My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." And you may be thinking, well, he's already everywhere. I mean, doesn't God say there's no place in all of creation he's not? And theologically and technically, that's true. The Bible refers to his character and his nature as being omnipresent, which means he's actually everywhere in creation. That's true, but he's saying in addition to the fact I'm everywhere, I'm going to come and make my home with you, which is a different present than there. Let me say it this way. By now you know this, I'm a granddad. Very excited about that little Emma girl. Love her, love her, love her. She's amazing. But before Emma got here, I was a dad. When Lacey was just a little girl, she loved being with me as a dad. And so I knew that, and so I'd put her on my lap, and I would be with her. And it was interesting because she wanted to talk to me. Well, as most men are, I was trying to multitask. So I was with her, but I wasn't with her. And funny thing, as a little tiny girl, she could tell. So what she would do is she would take her little hands and put her little hands on my face and turn my face toward her. Then I was with her. It's instinctive. We know when we're together. And that's what God is saying. I'm everywhere. I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. But if you love me, you'll actually do what I say. I'm going to love you, and then I'm going to come make my dwelling with you. In other words, you're going to experience something that's different about our, it's called relationship. Do you see it? So why would God care so much about our prayer life? It isn't so that we learn proper English or we learn how to scream and yell with impressive amazement. None of those kinds of things. He's looking for something completely different. What's he looking for? Us. Us. So, here's what we need to understand about this. God says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Let me give you a quick fill-in for that. Do what I say equals live life God's way. Obedience. 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 Everyone say obedience. Jesus is saying, when, because of our love, we choose to obey him, he actually does something unique in his response to us, and there is a relational context, a dwelling. He used the picture, I'll make my house with you. I'll make my residence with you. I will come into your circumstance and be with you. Does that sound familiar to the way he created everything in the beginning? Let's think about it. In the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, he created everything in the earth. In the beginning, he created humanity to live in the earth. In the beginning, he gave them a directive of something to do with significance and consequence. And all of that he did so we could do those things together, because the together is the point. The together is the point. The together is the point. Which is why I believe Jesus will say in Luke chapter 18 that we should always pray. We should always pray. We should always pray. Why? Because God cares not just about our needs. He wants to be with us. With us. And in his own way, it's like the role's reversed, but it's like he's putting his hands on our face and say, look my way. You know I'm there, but you just have me on your lap. You just kind of have me within reach. In case you need me, I'm there. But that's not the kind of there I'm talking about. I want you to be here with me. I want to do all of this with you. And the heart of this we see in James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, come close to God and he will come close to you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. So today, in the middle of our prayer series, while we've talked about the idea that God gives us the context of prayer, what it is, it's communicating with him. God gives us the idea that in order to have a rich, fulfilling prayer life, that we need to have a place of prayer, that there are approaches to prayer. It's about him relationally. Then before we go any further in, here's what you're going to do with prayer. He wants to help us understand the point is not what we do together. The point is that we are together. So please don't lose sight of the fact that I just want to be with you. Prayer, write this down, is a primary way we actually come close to God. Prayer is a primary way we come close to God. We're created that way. And I want to tell you this morning, we've got one more installment in the prayer series. Next week's going to be fun. We'll talk about some of the phenomenal things that God gives us the privilege to do in prayer. It's phenomenal. But here's, and I don't want to be overly dramatic, but Jesus gives us a sobering perspective. In the Gospels, he said, there'll be a day when people stand before me to give an account of their life. And they'll talk about all the Christian things that they've done. Big stuff like casting out demons, doing all kinds of miracles, ministry in my name. They'll have done all those things. And I'll say, it's not going to work because we didn't know each other. So I want to just make the point that prayer is not a performance issue. Prayer is not just a power pellet, you know, that we have in our tool belt so we can be Batman or Superman, whichever one you like. The issue isn't any of that. It's that God wants us to be with him. With him. That's his heart for you. And so this morning I want to pray. I'd like to pray over you. And I'd like to ask you to be willing to let God almost, it's the wrong feeling, but almost like put a bug in you. You know what a virus is in a computer? Something that gets in the operating system that changes the way it operates. Almost like that, that you'd let God put inside you the understanding of prayer from today's passion, that he simply wants us to be with us, so that now it isn't, good morning, Lord. Thanks for the coffee, Lord. Help my breakfast, Lord. Here's my lunch, Lord. Oh my gosh, I'm getting pulled over because I gave him the speeding ticket, Lord. Help me with that. Here's my dinner, Lord. Thank you for that. Now, instead of that, it's like learning to live with God through every moment of the day in prayer. Why? Because that's what he created you for. That's where we're ultimately fulfilled. And that's where God's deepest relationship with you is actually facilitated, prayer. Bow your heads, let me pray for you this morning. Father, I want to thank you for who you are and how you work in our lives. It is truly amazing to us that in the power of your awesome splendor of creation, that you've demonstrated what you're really after isn't performance. It's actually ourselves. You just want us. And you want us to have the capacity to love and want you. Father, I'm praying today by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would so touch our minds with the understanding and our hearts today with this, that we would never see prayer the same way. Some dry religious ritual that we do hoping that you're good with it. But the fact is, Lord, you want us to connect with you and live in relationship with you. I pray, Lord, for every person in here today who actually wants that, but knows that they feel a long way away from you. God, that today you would give them the courage to make the choices it takes to connect with you relationally and start a brand new life. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to lead those of you who are at a point of decision. I would like to lead you through a life change prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to think about this. If you're in here today and you know that you know I'm a long way from God, or I feel very distant from God, or I'm not sure where I'm at with God, the fact that you're aware of any of that is an indication that there are some choices you need to make to redirect your life, turn your life, and get close to God. And today I'd like to help you take that step by leading you in a simple prayer. It really is it's the turning prayer. The Bible calls it repentance. And it's given to us because of what Jesus did for us. Now let me just speak this over you. Jesus paid the price by giving his own life. When he sacrificed his life for us, he actually paid for the penalty of sin, death, and destruction, so that we could actually receive what he had done for us, and through that gift, reconnect with God the Father and live in relationship with him. That's what he did. The only part he cannot do is the choice you're about to make. And that is to say, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today. So I'd like to take the opportunity to ask those of you in here today who know it is my time. I feel far away from him. I'm not sure where I am with him, or I know I need to get right with God. Today's your day. In just a moment, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up so I can connect with you and say a prayer. A couple more thoughts. Number one, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want to connect with you and then pray with you. Number two, don't overthink it. It's actually not as complicated as it sounds. It's just going, yep, I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to go his way. So on the count of three, in just seconds, I'm going to ask you to make the decision and throw your hands up. Are you ready? Come on, three. Right now, throw your hands up. It's time to make the decision. One, leave them up just for a second. Two, three. Nobody's looking around. Who else? Four, thank you very much. Who else? Five, thank you. I see that hand. Who else? Just leave them up for a second. I'm just kind of scanning. I want to connect with you. Just make sure that I see everybody. Thank you very much on the front. Thank you. Six. Who else? Seven. Thank you. Who else? Anybody else? Eight. Just another moment. I feel God tugging on somebody. Who else? Anybody else? All right. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Okay. Now everybody look at me just for a moment. We're going to pray together in just seconds, but here's what I want to do. Number one, thank you for saying my day. Number two, thank you for letting me help you take this first step, which is the step of prayer, giving your life to the Lord. Number three, it's an honor to be a part of taking steps together with you as you move forward into a new life with Christ. And we're going to do that together as well. Okay. So all of it starts by this prayer. And I'd like to ask you to pray out loud with me as we say this prayer. In fact, everyone, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to me, giving me the truth of your word to understand how to follow you. Jesus, today I'm asking that you would wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, I'm giving my life completely to you. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new today. Come into my heart, the middle of who I am, and lead me forward as I live the rest of my life following you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a great praise today? I love that, love that, love that.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.